Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Scopulis every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Man Up, also underwritten by McDonald Imaging Solutions.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy One studio, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com. Also, please like the show on Facebook, subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I am Joe Stopulis. Today I'll be joined by Christopher Helley, and we're going to discuss the book, The Mentor's Handbook. Let's start in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince in the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you can tell, we've taken a little bit of a break from our Great Men of the Bible series. And the reason for that, well, one, last week, Bo Bonner really wanted to talk about the deprived men of the Bible. So we did that. So kind of an overview of the bad people of the Bible for the first five books of the Bible. We've already had a couple of these, but anytime I see a book or something that I want to promote that's timely, I'm going to keep interjecting them here during the timeline of the Great Men of the Bible series. Today is no exception. I saw this Mentor's Handbook posted on Twitter, and I read about it, and I said, well, I've got to have an interview about that book. I think there's going to be a lot of great takeaways. So really excited to have Christopher Helley with us on the other side of the break to discuss the Mentor's Handbook and what we as men can learn from the truths that are going to be taught in that book. So we're going to head to a short break, and when we return, Christopher Helley will be with us. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for underwriting Man Up. Construction Professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
I want to thank McDonald Imaging Solutions. They are sponsors of Man Up. If you were at the State Fair this year, they were the ones who provided the new tents and the Pope on a Stick fans that we used. McDonald Imaging Solutions is a family business with thousands of promotional items to choose from. They do things from labeling to marketing, printing, and provide all kinds of promotional products. Marty will personally help any business, big or small, to build their brand with corporate apparel and promo items. McDonald Imaging Solutions. Building brands, attracting new customers online at McDonaldImagingSolutions.com.
Support for programming of Catholic Women Now partially provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte. Cindy Schulte on the web at CindySchulte.com, 515-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Listen to Catholic Women Now Thursday mornings at 9 on Iowa Catholic Radio. Catholic Women Now, underwritten in part by Fred Haas, local injury attorney, Fred Double D, Haas Double A, FredHaas.com, and R&R Realty Group, showing Jesus Christ at work.
The Catholic Tuition Organization provides tuition assistance to qualified families so they can send their kids to our Catholic schools. Great tax benefits for donors and great education for our kids. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Hi, this is Marty McDonald with McDonald Imaging Solutions. It's been my joy to support Iowa Catholic Radio's new event tents and the Pope on a Stick fan used at the Iowa State Fair. McDonald Imaging Solutions, building brands, attracting new customers. McDonaldImagingSolutions.com.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my
weight. Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy One Studios. I am Joe Stopulis, and today I am joined by Christopher Helley. He holds a degree from Mount St. Mary's Seminary in theology as well as philosophy and has written for thosecatholicmen.com. He's married to his wife, Christine, his wife of 4 years, and has two sons, John and Nathan. Joins us today to discuss the book, The Mentor's Handbook, by Father Peter Henry. Christopher, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, we talked a bit before the show started that you and I both have mutual friends, and both these guys have been guests on the show, Adam Story and Brian Gonzalez, both random mutual friends of ours, so that's got to be good, right?
Absolutely. Good men, the both of them. Yeah. I don't know about myself.
If you're known by the company you keep, you're two for two right now, so that's exciting. Good to know.
Or.
So, and then, again, you had previous involvement with Those Catholic Men, and for our listeners, That might sound familiar, as thosecatholicmen.com was the website where we had an interview probably 4 years ago now with James Baxter. And that's how we heard about Exodus 90, and I just finished my third round through that. And so all of those things.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Thanks. Have spun out through the great website of Those Catholic Men and the work you're doing, that you guys did there. I know that you got to interview, was it Michael Knowles? Did you get to, was that your interview?
I did, yeah, that was me.
How in the world did you pull that off?
You know what? I did it the creepy way. I found him through Facebook and shot him a message and figured what I mean.
Was that before he blew up?
I get blocked in a restraining order.
Right now, he's kind of a big deal on Daily Wire. Was it prior to that, like before he blew up, or was it? I mean,
was a little bit after he got his own show.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, that's impressive. Yeah. So for our listeners who don't know, on the Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro's, you know, probably one of the most listened to podcasts in the country, Michael Knowles is a guy who works there, and he's very Catholic. And huge show, but no, I saw that you'd connected with him and interviewed him. So kudos to you. That's exciting.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah. So you're joining us today, not as the author of, but as a spokesperson for, a book called The Mentor's Handbook. And The Mentor's Handbook I found on Twitter. I mean, I saw a whole bunch of people tweeting about it, people picking it up in their hands and taking pictures of it. And I said, what is this book? I read a little bit about it, got kind of the Cliff Notes version. I said, this is something we've got to talk about. And so you are here to talk to us about The Mentor's Handbook. Can you give us a bit of background? Obviously, your name is not on there as the author, about the author and how this book came to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So the author is Father Peter Henry. He's a parish priest. And he's been a priest for about 20 years and worked in many capacities specific to the formation of young men, and he's currently the pastor of an urban parish. And in his experience working with young men, he really identified what, I mean, I think at this point, the culture has become somewhat familiar with, which is that we have something of a man crisis. And at this point, that's almost a cliche phrase, I suppose. But I think it's because everyone's so aware of it, and Father certainly experienced it and saw it, in his responsibilities to young men in the hopes of bringing them up in a devout and Catholic faith. And he found in this, you know, this crew of young men, many ambitionless, listless, bored, distracted young men, and saw that as a problem, and really began to undertake as what became a decades-long ministry, finding the correct and best way to form these boys into heroic men. In a lot of ways, he's become somewhat prophetic in that, you know, we see so much of this discussion about such things as toxic masculinity, et cetera, and really wrestling with what masculinity is and how to form it, if we can.
So, to give the background on the book here, I'm just going to lay out the structure of it, and then I'll let you kind of take this anywhere you want to go. But there's four parts to it, and the first part is the current situation. The second part is the mentor. Part three is the disciple. And part four is the process. Can you walk us through kind of how the book works as far as building the story on why we need to be becoming better men and better mentors?
Absolutely. And so I suppose phase one, and the way Father Peter Henry starts out the book, he tells this story that he often tells young men. It's a story that came from the desert father Hippolytus. And it's a story of a young man and a young woman. The young woman consecrated her virginity to Jesus Christ. And this was during the days of persecution in Rome. And so when this was discovered, she was taken to court and judged. She was brought to a judge, and this judge, because he was overcome by her beauty, tried to seduce her, but again, she consecrated her virginity to Christ, and she's imprisoned. A young man, hearing of this, basically infiltrates the prison, makes his way into her cell, and he begins to remove his robes, and she becomes terribly frightened, and he gives her his robes and essentially says, you know, make your way out of here. She escapes. The next day, this man is sentenced to death. And whenever Father tells this story, you know, the young men, all of them, respond the same way, you know, that they want to be just like that young man. You know, it doesn't have a terribly good ending for him.
I was actually going to share this story. I read that part of the book, and I thought it was a great setup to the book, because the young man pays, I think he said the going rate for this gal was $10, and he said, I'm going to pay him $30, and then he ends up dying. Yeah, so he ends up giving his life to save this young woman.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Thank you. That's useful detail. And so he offers all of these things, and he saves this young woman, preserves her virginity, for the greater glory of Christ. He doesn't take her. He doesn't use her. He protects and he serves her. And the young men, when they hear this story, are edified by this. They want to be that heroic man, right? And that is the actual instinct and state of a young man. Not going to give you another snapshot. You know, we look at something, we think of something like the David from Michelangelo, and you see this, you know, self-assured, confident man, ready and willing to take down a fight. You know, he's engaging Goliath in that image. And you know, this is sort of the true story of masculinity, of young men in particular, you know, filled with potential, desirous of greatness. But that's not the story that we tell anymore about young men. And so that first section, you know, the current situation, he spends some time on even, you know, the man as he sees himself and why that's so important. Because what we've arrived at a point in our culture where, you know, we talk about toxic masculinity, but if we're being honest, it's our culture that's toxic for our young men. You know, the image of young men in our culture is one of, you know, sex depravity, addiction to video games. Father Peter Henry kind of gives maybe a dated reference, but all the same, it's somewhat relevant because at this point, God help us, a piece of American culture is the movie American Pie, where the entire conquest of the individual, the protagonist, is to lose his virginity, you know, and the idea being that it's as, you know, American as American Pie. And like this is sort of the image of men, sort of foolish, awkward, and after pleasure for themselves. And this is only one image of that, you know. And this is sort of the diet that we feed our kids. It isn't, you know, that's just American Pie. That's, you know, there it's all over the place. When we see young men, we often find them in, you know, in entertainment, unwilling or unable to fight, unwilling or unable to fix something. And usually, you know, a young heroine who's able to kind of, you know, show him the way. And so we have this image of young men as dead weight. And we're really seeing this, we're seeing the fruits of this for certain in the numbers as far as education, in terms of the workforce. You know, men are falling off in the workforce, for every young man that gets accepted, for every young woman that's accepted into college. Had it right the first time. For every man that's accepted into college, you know, 1.5 young women are accepted into college. You know, we're seeing young men struggle. We're seeing young men not becoming the heroes that we know they yearn to be. We see them kind of falling off, and in some ways, we see them falling into horrible vices, addiction to pornography. We see them in stories of sexual assault. We see them in stories of acts of violence, you know, school shootings, and how many of those school shootings were perpetrated by a young man who didn't have a father. And that kind of leads us into the idea of the mentor.
Let me throw this in here real quick on the current situation. I would also argue that in addition to the toxic masculinity, there's also a lack of just any masculinity. So you've got this one end of the spectrum, which is this, you know, this aggressive guy who feeds on women and is just a total tyrant. On the other side, you've got the complete lackadaisical male who doesn't care about anything,
sure,
who would rather just sit around and play video games all night long and drink and eat pizza and be completely slothful and not care about the Lord and not care about anything, which is another very acceptable thing to do, is just to watch Netflix all day long and to play video games,
right,
and to not even participate in society. And so
further, expect it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I would argue that in addition to this toxic masculinity, which again, does exist, there's also this level of apathetic masculinity, and neither of those are the answer. And so I'm totally on board with you, and I think the next step is, yeah, so what do we do? What do we do? How do we mentor the next generation?
So first things first, you know, we talk about – and I'm going to go a little bit out of order in the book. You know, there's the characteristics of a mentor, and then there's the process. Right. And so in the process, the first thing is modeling, which makes us go back to the characteristics of a mentor. You know, you can't give what you don't have. And so the question is, what are the traits and characteristics that a mentor needs to instill in himself and discipline? And he lists a handful of them, you know, with disinterest, which I think is one of the more interesting ones. You know, the word disinterest, it sounds almost like that image of a 1940s father who's wildly uninterested in the benevolent, the benefit and the development of his children, you know, so long as they have clothes on their back and food on their plate. That's not what that word means. The way that Father Henry describes disinterest is sort of a distinction from interest and uninterest, right? And so uninterest being you really don't care if in the development of your son or of the young man that you're mentoring. And the other is that you've placed so much of yourself into this young person that, it's mostly about what you get from this young man than what the young man gets from you. And so disinterest is to really utilize and exercise St. Thomas Aquinas' definition of charity. You will the good of the other, and that is the extent and the soul of your relationship with the young man that you mentor. And so you're disinterested because you're not doing it for you. You're disinterested insofar as this is about installing the development, the growth, the virtue, and the character that the young man needs to succeed and to do well and ultimately to become a saint. And so he talks of disinterest. You got to let go of yourself and make it about the young man. Respect, you revere the young man. You acknowledge him in his development. You see the strengths that he cultivates, and you don't forget that. You honor it even as he demonstrates it. Honesty, you speak the truth to the young man. Integrity, don't live a duplicitous life. What you teach the young man is what you're striving to be. Forthrightness, don't be fearful. Don't try to be nice. Be kind. Tell him what he needs to hear, what he needs to know. Commitment, you need to spend the time with the boy. You need to speak to the boy. He needs to be a priority, not just a hobby of some kind. Availability, which I imagine is a real challenge. We live in a hustle and bustle world, but you got to make yourself available to the young people, especially once you've made that commitment. Vulnerability, that's a dirty word. Vulnerability, a willingness to speak to, within reason, your own experiences in such a fashion that it is useful for a young man. The young man sees that you are a man too, striving to do the same things, even if you fail, striving to do the same things that you're trying to instill. And an awareness of your limitations. You need to have humility. You're not the savior. Job's taken. Your job is to really be an emissary of the Lord in this work. And so in your awareness of your limitations, you constantly turn and return to the Lord and to his faith. And in that, you don't try to overextend or try to offer what you yourself don't have. And so really maintaining that humility.
So you mentioned a lot of different things we can do, and you keep talking, you use the word young man. Who's the target market for this book? Who should be going out and buying this book? What is the age of the man, and where do you see the target market for as far as the age of the young men they're trying to mentor?
So to be frank, I suppose there really isn't an age per se. I suppose the ideal thought process, the expectation is it'll be men between the ages of 25 and up, but really it's more of a project-based, relationship-based demographic. And so we're thinking priests, youth ministers, fathers, older brothers who find themselves responsible for one reason or another for their younger brothers. Really anyone who is charged with the responsibility of teaching and developing a young man.
So I'm a big fan of Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life, and we did a couple episodes on that a while back.
Great.
At the end of your book, and I sent this to my men's group, there's a litany of just quick hit, hey, here's the top 25, I don't know what the number is, of things to do for young men. And I feel like this could be a 25 Rules for Life, but you guys did it in like 5 pages. There's a ton of wisdom there, and it's real quick. But I mean, I'll hit on a few of these. But
okay.
Be deliberate, seek God, know your father. Then it goes through: be a gentleman, don't trust the cultural or political or media or national educational establishments.
Sacred cynicism.
One of my favorites is, and I'm obviously blowing through these all really quickly. Read. Talking so much about getting out of the ways of the world and differentiating yourself by being great, and all these calls to being great. So there's a lot of stuff there, if not just for that last chapter, to know that, sure, like the back of your hand. There's so much good stuff there.
Absolutely.
Do you have a favorite rule or a favorite takeaway that you are looking to as obviously a father of two now?
Oh, gosh. There are so many. It's kind of somewhat difficult to choose.
Oh, there's another good one.
Yeah.
So while you're thinking about it, I have two more that are very, in my own life, these are kind of oh, I don't know. These are major stepping stones for me, but one of them was do not play video games. I mean, he says do not play video games. So that's like a – I played an absolute right. ton of video games from about age 7 to 18.
Sure.
I mean, world record. I was really good at video games. And RBI baseball, I'll still take anyone on. And anyway, so that's a big deal, though. So the not playing video games, he's very, very staunch on avoiding that. And then another big one was – keep sports in perspective. And I love that. And I talk about it a lot, especially being a men's show. You know, you'd think I've interviewed lots of people who are in sports and I love playing sports, but the word in perspective, I think, is paramount to us as men in society to keep that balance of sports just in our lives, to understand that it is good, but it can quickly take over your life. So there's so many nuggets here. Did you think of a favorite?
My favorite would have to be realize the gift of manhood. I think that it's my favorite because at this point, and it's rather unfortunate, but it's somewhat counterintuitive, I think, to what the general sense is about manhood and about masculinity, that it's not a gift. It's something to be contained or otherwise, if not crippled, quieted. And so the rule is, boys have been conditioned to see themselves as problematic and the source of much of what is wrong in the world. On the contrary, boys and young men ought to see manhood as a privilege. They ought to see their manliness as the vehicle by which they will engage the world in order to make significant contributions to their families, communities, church, and world. If adult manhood is not seen as an adventure to be seized, especially for the benefit of others, a young man has not been properly mentored. And so you mentioned, you know, my own sons. I want them to know that. I want them to know that their manhood is the very beginning and really the launch pad of their sanctity. And I want them to see it that way because that's what it is.
Christopher, the book is The Mentor's Handbook. How do we get it?
So you can get it on Amazon.com like everyone else in the world.
That's a good start.
Or you can go ahead and get it from SophiaInstitutePress.com. Or Amazon.com, as I mentioned.
Okay, and I told you we're in the middle of a Great Men of the Bible series. Throw you on the spot here a little bit. You've got enough formation. You should be able to find one. Do you have a favorite man in the Bible? Favorite man
Elijah.
In the... Okay, that was fast. All right.
and honestly, I mean, I have a lot. And honestly, you know, I stand to correction because there are so many great men, and I'm sure there's some metric you could use to determine who is legitimately the greatest man in the Bible. And I assume
There's not a ranking system. This is not a ranking system.
Okay.
We're just covering them all.
Okay. Fair enough. So, I mean, assuming, of course, that our Lord is off the table
yep.
here, lest I be guilty of blasphemy, I would have to say Elijah. Just the story of him in Mount Carmel, and wanting to know the presence of the Lord, knowing who God is and what He is, and you know he goes to sleep and there's the story of he looked to God in the wind, but he wasn't in the wind, etc. And I go back to that all of the time in my interior life, where I turn to something in its creatureliness, and I look to see is this where God is, and it's well no, He's not in this. He proposes himself to me in the silence, and I turn back to that frequently, that God is not a contrivance of my greatest display of creativity, but that He is the God of the universe who reveals himself as he does in his way.
I'm glad I asked. Great answer. Christopher, thanks again for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. We're going to head to a short
Thank
break.
You to Mercy
around.
College
we'll
of Health
right
Sciences,
back.
Downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print.
We make printing easy.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my
Welcome back to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. My thanks again to Christopher Helley joining us to discuss the Mentor's Handbook. A great book, a great guide, very practical for us as men, as guys who are influencing either sons or nephews or just any young men in our lives. A lot of great wisdom in that book to take away. So strongly encourage you to go out and buy that book and put it to use in your life. This is now the third episode, I believe, where I am pitching the entrance into the Promised Land. We talked about Joshua and Judges. Now, I think this is the third time in a row I'm pitching that it's going to be the next episode. It is actually going to be the next episode. So join us next week when we restart back up the Great Men in the Bible series and dive into the Promised Land with the books of Joshua and Judges and that cycle of sin and redemption. Really excited to get into that. Thank you again for joining us today on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.
Man Up, also underwritten by McDonald Imaging Solutions.